greet each one in Christ's name this morning, and I also want to welcome everyone here. We have a lot of visitors here yet this morning, and we're happy that you are with us. And looks like I'm short on time this morning, so I hope I don't go over, but I'll try to keep my words simple and concise. I would like to, you don't need to turn there with me, but I'm going to read a couple verses out of James 5, verse 16 through 18, maybe. It says here, "Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And that's encouraging, because of all the prayer requests that were given this morning, of all the needs, God answers prayer. And our prayers of the righteous are effective, and we sometimes wonder if they are. But this little passage just brings out the point that if we're not living right, if we've got sin, it says go ahead and take care of that sin, confess that, and get your heart right with God so that your prayers can become effective. And I want to encourage us with that. I want to read that again at the end of my message, possibly, but it really brings out it's not really what my message is all about. I don't have a title for my message this morning, but it maybe is a backing point to strengthen it. As I was looking for what to share this morning, I was reading through Howard Bean wrote a book some years ago, A Good Minister is the title of the book, and so when I'm lacking in subjects to preach about, I read that book, or I go through there sometimes. And one suggestion that he talked about that struck a chord in my mind, he said, preach sermons that are connected to what we are going through spiritually right now, or even circumstances that we are going through. And interesting enough, he mentioned, he's Canadian, so he mentioned his Canadian hero hockey player, Wayne Gretzky, and he said, gave Wayne's advice. It says, Wayne Gretzky said this when he was playing hockey. He's probably close to my age, and he's a head coach now in Canada. He says, skate to where the puck is going to be, not to where it has been. And you know, that's really important. That's good advice for us in our spiritual lives. We live our lives such that we will be able to meet the challenges that we face along the way, instead of trying to face the challenges that we faced last year. You know, sometimes we're just so busy facing things that, dealing with things that we dealt with back there. And we need to be headed towards the things that, where the puck is going to be, where that spiritual need is headed in our lives, or in our church. This morning I aim to encourage us with the challenges that we are facing today and tomorrow. And I have been thinking about our church in light of our summer activities or our work. In many ways, with our boys camp, girls camp, whatever we're doing as ministry work throughout the summer, I believe it's like a missionary, but I believe for our church, I'm trying to comfort you now, because later on I might not comfort you with my words. But in a sense, the ministry that we do here in our church is like a missionary. But I believe it's more intense than what missionaries have sometimes, because we are running these camps along with our regular life and our regular work. And a missionary devotes all their time to that ministry, and they lay aside the regular work, and they just do that. And we here are doing both. The main point I want to teach this morning is stay focused on why we're doing this work. And secondary point I want to make this morning is stay focused on maintaining our hearts and souls while we are doing this work. Looking at why we are doing this work is important because it helps us to do the work for the right reason, and it also allows God to get the honor and glory for that work. And I'd like to just look at a little history. I've shared this history before, but this is this always stands out to me a little more. It led up to the Revolutionary War, and it's about the Sons of Liberty. John Adams said he was the main leader of the Sons of Liberty, and he's known for saying this little phrase, "Stand on principle, even if you stand alone." And when I think of that, I think John meant that he meant truth, but it doesn't have to be just truth. It has to be something that's worth standing for, a principle. The Sons of Liberty were American patriots who were formed in Boston before the Revolutionary War, and they were the ones in charge of that historic Tea Party. And they did it to show the people in England that our forefathers meant business when they said that every man should be treated fairly. And being treated fairly does not accurately explain what they were standing for, but it seems that the problem was actually different than that. In England, there seemed to be in that day, in their culture, the thinking of the government, the government sort of believed and they promoted that it was okay to treat poor people or even people who did not have, who were not from a well-known family, to treat them in a disrespectful way. That was sort of the common way of thinking if you were one of the top people in England. And the Sons of Liberty didn't believe that this was wrong, and I believe too it was. They didn't like the idea that you had to be somebody to before you had a right. And so they were fighting this. And they were tempted to lose their focus as well. Just before the war was started, before the Revolutionary War was started, before any shots had been fired, the Sons of Liberty got together one last meeting, and John Adams asked, he was a leader, he asked the question to the members. He said, "What are we fighting for?" He asked that question. And most of the members declared very loudly and strongly that we're fighting for our rights. But then he said, we're not really fighting for our rights. We're fighting for principle, and we have to stand for it. He said to them, if we're just fighting for our rights, it is most definitely we're going to lose this battle. Because, he said, there are so many more English than there are American colonists. He said, our rights are being taken away from us. That is not the real problem. He said, the root problem is that's causing this rebellion is different. And if we're just fighting for our rights, that's not a good enough reason to die for. We don't want to just die because we're fighting for our rights. He was a very wise man. He understood things good. And he said, we have a much greater purpose and reason to be fighting. The reason we are fighting is because we are standing for principle or truth that cannot be lost. And then he went on to say, God created all men equal, and we need to fight to help not only the Americans keep our rights, but to help the world to see that God created all men equal, and that all countries of the world can be reminded that we are fighting for all countries where people abuse this principle. And he said in his closing statements then, we are not only fighting for what we face today, but we are fighting for what many generations after us will face. And then he told the Sons of Liberty to remember that when they face the enemy, it is a principle worth giving our lives for. That's what you're fighting for. And I share this so that this morning, as we think of our summer ministry, boys camp, we've just come through girls camp, We have men's retreat, and we have other little things going on here and there, too, people are doing. I want us to keep our focus on what is our purpose. Why are we doing this? Because that will give us reason to do a more diligent job and to do it with zeal. Over the next month, as we pray for this work, as we organize this morning, and also as people are involved in this work, regardless of how little part you play in this work, maybe all you're doing is you're just going to pray. That's all you're going to do. Or maybe you might do something else that seems very insignificant. We have to still all stay focused on the purpose that we're doing it. You know, our main purpose in the boys' camp and the girls' camp is to strengthen these young men and women to be faithful Christians. And all that come to camp, I would say 99% of the boys and girls that come to camp are already taught from their parents about God and how to live for God. So our purpose is to back up that teaching and to encourage these youth to see that eternal value of being faithful to God in their Christian walk. Our goal is to help these youth to have this in their hearts for real. We want to get it in their hearts for real. And if we keep that as our purpose, we have a reason to keep this work up, while at the same time recognizing that it is the work of the Lord, and He is the one that gets the glory. If we keep that focus in our mind, it will help us to be more willing to pray more diligently, sacrifice our regular life for the work of the Lord. And also, as we think of men's retreat, our focus is different, but we still are doing it to help out leaders of homes to be faithful to God and also in their marriages. And also remember that it's too is God's work. Satan would like if our church would do this work simply because we enjoy the adventure of it, or that we think it might make us popular. That's what Satan would like us to think. And it's easy to do this work because we've always been doing it. We've done it for 25 years or more, and we've just been doing it. And we just need to keep it up. But that's not a good enough reason. We need to have a purpose in our hearts, each of us. Why are we doing this? There is another aspect that I believe that we should recognize that should also strengthen our purpose for doing this work. Help us realize how serious this work is. And you might think this is a side trail, but this has been on my mind. And I'm going to just mention social media. And I would like to say a lot more about this, but I'll say just briefly. But I believe that social media has escalated the need in our society, and it especially affects young people in a negative way, in more than one way. But I'm thinking today in peer pressure, the peer pressure it promotes in social media. And our camps, we take that all away, and they get relieved of that, and they can think straight a little bit for a couple days. And that's a good thing. But we don't recognize, I don't think, in our lives, how much social media has affected our lives. So I'm being negative about social media. There are good points about it. I know there is. But we need to be very careful. People post things about themselves on social media that isn't really true. And or we ourselves are posting things about ourselves that just lift ourselves up and make us look feel pride about ourselves. In this way, I believe social media is like a bad friend that we actually don't need. And these are my own opinions. I'm not sharing these with you that you have to agree with me. It's a concern of mine that is going on, and I think it actually makes our purpose in camp more serious than actually what it used to be, because we didn't have to deal with this when we first started our camps. And I would like to say that there are many good things about social media that we use, and I'm thankful for those things. But we have to be careful. And I think that the peer pressure that our young people are facing, and when they come to camp, that they get relieved of, it actually gives them a time where they can connect with each other. I was reading recently in an article that someone wrote about this very subject, and they said that there are so many relationships that are being discarded because we're depending on social media to make the relationship. And I could go on quite a bit about this, so I'm going to stop here in a short time, but I think it's having its effect in our camps and on our people, and that is why the need, the vacuum for having these kind of things go on is becoming more important. And but we are missing out in relationships, and I'll give you an example what happened to this writer that wrote in this article. She said that she was she looked on her Facebook account and she got a message from a friend that she was coming through to visit. She hadn't seen for a long time. She was very excited about this. And then she looked a little closer and the message was 4 days old. So this person depended on a message on Facebook to communicate that I want to come visit you, which she never saw, so she never communicated back to come, and this person never called or did anything else. You know, we put too much emphasis on messaging each other, communicating with each other, and not really just talking voice to voice about this. That's just one way. But we're missing out because we depend on that solely to communicate. And we, as older people, are just as guilty as young people. I'm not just blaming the young people. I think the young people are more influenced with the peer pressure of it. And we see that as we come to girls camp and boys camp, that it's affecting their lives. And it's putting pressure on them that they don't need to face in their lives. So I'm not suggesting that we look down on those who use social media and think we are better than if we don't use it. The point I want to make out with this is that our work in boys camp and girls camp has become more important and serious since social media is a normal part of our people's lives in the world we live in. The internet on our smartphones is having its effect on our souls, and that's the world we're in. Our world is faced with an evil influence that we cannot run away from or we cannot ignore. And I say these things to help us realize our purpose for boys camp and girls camp is very important. And we do fun adventure to teach, and they are fun tools, but we need to focus on the main root issues that are at stake in our work, in our ministry. Giving young Christians the tools to be faithful in their Christian lives so they can learn to be overcomers. That's our purpose. And these young lives have been influenced in the past, but the more diligent that we are, the more serious we take to praying for this, I believe will have its effect. Just for interest, I thought of this as I was thinking about this also, that it wasn't the last time that I was a counselor, but I'm guessing it was 12, 15 years ago I was a counselor. John Slayball's nephew was here. He was a boy in boys camp. And we talked a lot. I don't remember his name. I'll have to ask John later. But he was so excited that year because he found out about Facebook. And Facebook was just new. He was telling me all about Facebook. He said it's so cool because you can actually keep up with people's birthdays and you can communicate just friend to friend. It's for friends. And, you know, I could see his point. It was exciting. But I would like to talk to him today. I'll bet he might change his mind about it today a little bit. It's changed the way we think, too, now. That was a side point. It just was sort of interesting to me how this goes on. Now I want to look at the secondary point of this message of staying focused on maintaining our hearts and souls while doing the work of the Lord. The misguided thought that Satan implants into our minds is that since we are fully engaged in doing God's work, Our personal time with God is not as important as when we're doing our regular work. You know, when we're doing our regular work, we have this thing in us that we feel like, I'm disconnected with God because I'm not reading my Bible right now. And we sort of disconnect our regular work with God, from God. But then when we think of it correctly, we learn, when we're just doing regular work, that we learn to stay connected to God. We overcome that. But then when we get fully into God's work, as a missionary or doing that kind of thing, it's easy for us to think, that's just, I'm immersed in it. I don't need to take that personal time. And that's not true. Satan would like to deceive us if that's true. So I'm wanting to say this morning that the opposite is true. Since we are fully engaged in the work of the Lord, we have more reason to take personal time with Him, with God. And you remember in Luke where Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house, and Martha was busy getting food on the table for all the company, for Jesus and His disciples or whoever else was there. And she was busy. She was hard at work. And Mary was just sitting down there at Jesus' feet, just listening to His words. That's all she was doing. And Martha told Jesus, tell her to come help me. And then Jesus said, well, she's doing the more important work. And I imagine that was pretty hard to take, wasn't it? And we discussed this over times, you know, well, someone's got to do the work. I don't think that Jesus was telling Martha that her work was not important. I think Jesus was saying that listening to my words is more important than making physical food for us. And we sometimes pit those two together. But that's not what Jesus was saying. He was saying the more important work is that you are immersed in my word and you listen to my words. So it's important for God to speak to us when we are in the work of the Lord, when we're in ministry. More important to keep this priority right. And I think as we think of the counselors, think of the committee members and other people who are involved in some way, I think that we should pray for them, especially that they can get their time with God, that they can take the time they need with God to be connected like they should be. And we don't want to do our work again, I'm saying this again, that we don't want to do this work for our honor and glory. We want this to be for God. If we do not maintain our spiritual lives, we will not be as effective as we should be. God can find ways to work through us regardless of our failings. But even still, the more our life is spiritually maintained, I believe that allows the Holy Spirit to work better through our lives. And I believe the work of us praying is the greater work. I believe our praying is more important than the counselor's work. You counselors might not like to hear that, but I think you counselors, your sacrifices is what's hardest on you. And I can see that. But for people to consistently get down and pray for this work, I believe that's the important work. That's what's really going to change it, our prayers. Talked about the effective prayer of the righteous man. Maybe a little more practical is one thing that I was thinking about for us in my home. We struggle in our homes getting together enough to pray as a family. We do it, but it's hard to do because we're so going so many directions. And I know you face that too. It used to be easier than it is now, but it doesn't do me any good to share all those reasons why it's harder. It doesn't mean anything to God that it's harder now than it used to be. God only cares about that I am doing it and prioritizing it. And I could share with you all those reasons, but it's for no good. Regardless of our family circumstances or what age we are, or what age our families are, I think that we as parents, dad and moms, we need to make a very good effort to get together and get as much of our family together and pray every day. And especially during the summer when we're going through these, when people are out and about doing this work of the Lord, pray for them. You know, there's a lot that can be done if let's just say that there are 60 families here in our church, and that if every day throughout the day, one of those family, God, that family's together, they're praying right now about what's going on. They're praying for the people of the church and what's going on here in our community. Just think about the impact of that, about how that can affect what's going on for boys' camp. I know girls' camp has passed, but there's still seeds that have been planted in girls' camp that are still going to grow. Pray for their growth. I just want to encourage you with that and remind you that the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous people has a huge effect on the kingdom of God in his ministry, in his work. And then one last thought, maybe to maybe chew myself out a little bit. You know, we people sometimes, especially here, I've heard it from you too, but I think I've said it too. But we complain that we can't take our family on a family vacation in the summertime because what's so much going on here? And we're just so tied down here, we can't even go anywhere. I'd just like you to encourage us all, myself, to, you know, accept that, being okay. Don't get upset about that. Start being happy about this opportunity that we have, God has given us, that we can sacrifice our time during prime vacation time to do the work of the Lord and have the attitude that Paul had in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read that. These verses have been so special to me, or meant a lot to me in the last while. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5 says, Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. And I want that to be, I want to be happy with that. I want to put my ambition into that and be happy. You know, giving up my best time to do things for the work of the Lord and be willing to do it with a smile on my face. And I haven't always been, so I'm not necessarily chewing you out, although I know some of you will feel the impact of that, but I mean that for myself. Thank you for your attention. It's still 2 minutes.